So what we have, we're surrounded by a range of shrubs and trees and ground creepers. They're all different colours, all the leaves are different shapes, and we have a variety of different flowers. And the best part is you've always got something flowering in a native garden. So here we are, what is it, just the beginning of May, just before everything starts bursting to bloom, and we've already got bright red grevilleas in front of us here. There is a growing trend now towards growing more native gardens, and sometimes that can be a little bit daunting if you haven't actually done that before. So this is basically getting people involved in native gardens, and here's a few good tips on how to do that.
So a lot of the plants that are in this garden at the moment, they'd survive well and adapt to the wind and the sort of the heat in the Midwest as well, so your garden's not just going to burn to bits.
That's exactly right. These plants have been living in a hot, dry climate for, you know, many thousands of years. They've got some great little tricks and ways to get around surviving in that environment. And we live in a drying climate. It's getting drier all the time, and being able to decrease your water use decreases your bills, and you've still got your great garden out there without having to have the lawn and the roses.
How big do you think this is?
Well, about 2.5 acres. It's quite a phenomenal job to get this planted in the first place. It just shows you what you can do. And so I think that, you know, people with smaller gardens have got no excuse once they know this sort of thing's possible. Mm. Small gardens are easy doings.
And a garden of this size, how often do you think the owners would have to spend sort of maintaining it?
Mm. With the native gardens, once you've got them established, you've got your retic in there. The retic comes on once a week, tiny little bit of water. So that's all set and forget. If you had something that was more hand water, you'd probably have to do an awful lot more. A little bit of pruning here and there. But if you've actually designed your garden well to begin with, what grows up should sort of meet in the middle, and you don't need to do an awful lot of pruning in the end. Weeding is actually probably one of the biggest inputs for this garden at the moment, because it is only 6 years old, and because it was paddock before, you are still going to find there's a seed load in the ground that just pops up, and every time you get that gorgeous winter rain, the plants do really well, but also the weeds. So weeding is probably one of the biggest things, and also too because we are actually surrounded by weeds everywhere around here. We've got masses of paddocks of weeds all around, so you've got to be, you know, constantly vigilant. So I'd say probably the weeding would be the biggest thing. In a native garden at home, weeding would probably be something you'd do for the first couple of years, and then it looks after itself. So you'll find that once you've got that lovely bush cover over the top, it just it crowds out any of the weeds. There's just no room for them. So after a couple of years of, you know, starting your garden, it really is set and forget. Bit of pruning, bit of watering, and that's pretty much it.
Mm. Mm. And what about setting up your native garden in the first place? I mean, what if your backyard's like a gravelly, barren desert? Do you have to have a, you know, good soil and stuff like that?
Hmm. Yeah, there probably are ways of modifying that soil a little bit, but for the most part what you do is you look at the soil that you've got and you plant the appropriate plant for that soil. So different soil types will support different sorts of plants. And that's actually probably a good lead-in for me to mention that we're also running a series of free workshops to get people started over that initial hurdle with the garden guide. So we're running a whole series of free workshops in the next little while, and we can cover all these great things about what sort of mulches you use, what sort of plants are good for your garden, how to design your garden too so that you get the most out of it, because the first thing you can do is plant masses in there and find that they're all the wrong plants and find that it's all crowded out and it looks terrible after a couple of years. A little bit of thought, 5-10 minutes, half an hour of planning to begin with can give you something spectacular in a few years.
And Wendy, how do these native plants and flowers and trees and shrubs go with more traditional garden plants that people might have in their gardens at the moment? Do they adapt well? Do they get on? Mm. They don't fight and steal water from each other or anything, do they?
No, it's a good question actually though, because what you'll often find is we all still want a little bit of lawn. And the downside of having lawn is lawns are such high maintenance. You've got to fertilise them, you've got to water them, you've got to mow them, all those gorgeous things. Now, if you go and plant a Banksia or any of the native plants that actually don't need that fertiliser, It's worse than that. They'll actually cark it if you give them fertiliser. So you plant your gorgeous Banksia around your lawn and you're busy putting your fertiliser on your lawn. What you'll find is that Banksia slowly starts looking sick, and over a little while it eventually dies. Simply because those plants are so well adapted to low nutrients in the soil, if you give them any extra, they literally feed themselves to death. So their roots are so adapted to sucking up any nitrogen, phosphates in particular, that they'll literally overdose and die. So yeah, it's you can actually, there are certainly ways of planting a little bit of a European garden, a little bit of lawn in there. You just got to make sure that you pick the right plants to go around your lawn and things like that. So anything that you are adding a bit of fertilizer to, be careful what you plant around it, because natives don't like a lot of fertilizer. They don't like a lot of phosphorus.
What sort of native plants might go well with lawns?
Okay, so things like anything from the Myrtaceae family. So Myrtaceae, I'm talking about thryptamines, eucalypts. We can go over and have a little look at this eucalypt over here, and I'll tell you what I mean probably a bit better. This eucalypt just here, this one's called the red-capped mallee or an iliary. And this one here, it's a eucalypt. And if I just break off a leaf here and we crush it and have a little sniff, this is telling you it's a myrtle. Have a little sniff of that. What can you smell?
Ooh, toothpastey goodness.
Toothpastey goodness. Okay, it's a little bit like tea tree oil. You get this gorgeous burst of tea tree oil smell. And what that is chemical warfare, if you like. So this plant wants to stop itself from being eaten. So what it's done over the years is it's adapted to produce all these chemicals in its leaves that smell really good to us, but they taste really bad if you're an insect, and probably taste really bad if we stuck that in our mouth as well. So something like that, that has that gorgeous burst of tea tree oil, you know that that's from a myrtle family, and that's going to do okay with planted around where you're putting a bit of fertiliser in, so that you do the crush and sniff test. I'm hoping that there aren't any nurseries out there listening to this, because everybody's going to be going in and crushing and sniffing all of their native plants. But the beauty of going to a nursery is they've actually got names on the plants. You don't actually have to do that.